Hi guys, welcome back to a very edition of KMI. So excited about tonight's episode, Tarasha.
I'm excited too.
For everybody who's just tuning in, we have a very, very important and special guest on the phone with us tonight. Her name is Jasmine Hampton. Jasmine is actually a graduate from Howard University. She holds a Bachelor of Science in Sports Medicine. Not only does she have that degree, but she holds a master's degree in public health, where she has focused her studies on global health and health policies. But wait, it does not stop there. Jasmine also has worked in the field of public health for 2 years in Washington, D.C., and she's currently in medical school obtaining her MD. Not only is she in medical school, guys, but she's also recently received certification for mechanical ventilation in COVID patients. And we have her, guys. How you doing, Jazz?
How are you?
I'm good. So I feel like you have a lot you want to kind of talk to our listeners about today and some important things they should probably know.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to kind of go over, I feel like a lot of people, you know, kind of know about COVID, kind of don't, hearing so many different things in the media or on social media, but I thought it would be a good idea just to kind of go over some specifics that I think are important for the public to know.
Absolutely. And I'm so excited, especially because, you know, you're so accomplished with all of these things, and specifically in things that are happening right now in the world. And you're our age. You're 26, correct?
Correct.
Yes. I always get our ages confused. If you're ahead of me still now or I'm ahead of you,
I don't think it changes.
Up. But actually, you're right, Taraja. It does. But Jazz, I'll kind of just let you, you know, take it from here and just kind of free talk however you want to about whatever you want right now.
Okay, cool. So first I wanted to talk about the biggest thing is that COVID is a viral disease. So a lot of people get confused the difference between viruses and bacteria. So bacterial disease is your typical, you know, common cold, you know, sore throat, things like that, that can kind of just like go away on their own. So whereas like the flu and UTI and whooping cough, those things, you know, are bacteria, to where you can get medication for them and that's going to clear up your symptoms. The biggest difference that what people don't realize is that viral diseases, the reasons why people are like, well, why can't doctors just give us something? There's nothing to give. It's kind of like when you go to the doctors and they're like, oh, you have a upper respiratory infection, it'll go away on its own. You just kind of have to sit through it. That's what's happening with this disease. It's considered a viral disease to where there's no prescription that I can give you, but in the future there'll be hopefully a vaccine to help prevent some of the symptoms that are associated with it.
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of people are getting confused, where they're in such a hurry to get a medicine for this, but I think they're missing the point that we're waiting on a vaccine, not really this miracle medicine.
Right, correct. And then so, because the reason why this was so crazy and why it's having such a death toll is because, one, they were kind of expecting it, but not really expecting it, because this is a strand of a different type of virus that's already been out there. So it's like a combination of the flu and a virus strand called SARS. So that's why they weren't really expecting like a new, more dangerous strand to come on. The current symptoms, like everyone knows the cough and obviously the shortness of breath, but recently they've added fever, chills, muscle pain, headache, sore throat, and interesting enough, like a loss of taste and smell. So the CDC has been trying to kind of narrow down what the main symptoms are, just so people kind of have an idea what to expect, and so they know if they should or should not be.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I feel like every time I read something, I'm seeing a new type of symptom or a possible new symptom. And I think that's the problem with a novel virus, is it develops and it evolves, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, correct. So like the more people get tested, the more they can kind of research and see, you know, what's going on to give a better, you know, recommendation. So right now, like, they first started with, like, the long nose testing, like, that goes into your brain, I call it.
Yes.
Which was awful. But now they're starting to do, like, the rapid nose test, and then a lot of people are hearing about the antibody test. Now, I was really interested in the antibody test, one for myself, just because I was kind of interested to see, like, if I had it already and produced the antibodies for it. But I later learned in research that, you know, even if you get the blood test and even if you do have the antibodies, or so basically antibodies mean that your body has fought it off, whether you have the symptoms or not, it's not necessarily mean that you can't get it again. So everyone's trying to test, but right now, like, I wouldn't suggest that, just because, say you did have it and you do have the antibodies for it, like, I or no physician is going to be able to tell you, like, you're never going to get it again.
Right.
Because kind of a waste of time.
So
exactly.
I feel
that's exactly how I got it as well.
I feel like that brings up a question for me. So I'm hearing, again, like, we're just talking about all these, like, different types of symptoms and they're adding all these things. Does that mean that the virus is, like, mutating into different strains? Is this all still considered the same thing? Does that make sense, my question?
Yeah, so they're saying that right now it's still considered the same thing, but when we get a second wave of this in probably, like, October, November time frame, when there's probably going to be a possible a little bit strand, if you had it, like, now, like, no, there's not enough research to be, like, you're not going to get it again in November.
Right.
And I think that's
a big assumption for people. I know I assumed that in the beginning. I have since read otherwise, but I know that was a big assumption for me. Was I do know people that have had it and have come, you know, out on the other side and are fine. So in my head, I'm like, all right, well, I was probably exposed to it when I was around those people, so maybe I'm not going to get it. And I feel like that's not a good assumption anymore.
Fighting off, just like, you know, if you don't go and get the flu shot right now, everyone goes and gets it, and you probably had a really bad cold, so you probably had some sort of flu that your body's been able to fight off. So in the case that you get exposed again, you probably would still be able to beat it again, but your symptoms may present that time instead of not presenting at all like you did before.
And I think that's a good question too, about, you know, everybody doesn't really know much about, you know, COVID to begin with, but also I feel like people don't really know anything about an asymptomatic carrier. And maybe if you could just, you know, sort of explain to the listeners, you know, why this virus is spreading so much because of the asymptomatic carriers.
Yes. So a lot of, especially with viruses in general, they can kind of remain in your body in different, you know, surfaces and things like that. So for me, for example, like, I have to get a flu shot because I work in a hospital. Now, growing up, I did not get the flu shot, right? So now my body's learning how to fight off the flu, but I could have had the flu all along. So say I had the flu and I went to school and I gave you a hug, right? Gave you a hug and may have just, like, breathed on you or coughed on you on accident. Now, I may think, like, I feel fine, but the next day, you have a fever throwing up, God knows what. So, people may feel completely 100%. However, you don't know how that same type of virus or same type of, you know, disease is going to affect the next person, because everyone's made up of different genetic components and people react to different things. That's why there's allergies. Like, some people are allergic to pollen and other people are not. But, you know, you don't know what you're hearing, so that's why they're suggesting masks, because you could be walking around all jolly and could kill somebody.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was hoping you would say. Like, it's quite honestly true. And it's not even just, you know, like, oh, you're going to come into contact with a person who per se has this virus. But, you know, you could, it's correct me if I'm wrong, Jazz, but can't the virus live in, you know, breath droplets, which are present in the air for, you know, a certain amount of time? And you could walk through an aisle that somebody who is COVID positive and doesn't know it was just in, and then, you know, you're breathing in those germs.
Yes, definitely. So I have a list of things that, like, the virus can remain done, like, and keep the surfaces infected. So right now, the CDC is saying on latex gloves, the virus can last about 7 to 8 hours. On wood, it's about 4 days. So that's wood. So, like, walls, etc. Glasses, actually made out of glass, 4 to 5 days.
Wow.
Stainless steel, so like your refrigerator, your countertops, things like that, 2 to 3 days, give or take. Soda cans, so like if you're going to the grocery store and picking up a pack of soda, they can have the virus on there between 2 to 8 hours. So if someone went and touched it and had it beforehand, there's potentially you could be infected. Plastic, so plastic bags, water bottles, feeding bottles for babies, like toys, things like that, about 3 days. Cardboard, so all y'all's Amazon's packages that are coming, 24 hours. So I would suggest spraying that Lysol before bringing that into your house or unpacking it outside or letting it stay in the garage for a day, because on cardboard can last about 24 hours. And then like ceramic things, so like coffee mugs, etc., about 5 days.
Wow.
That's new knowledge for me too. So like, thank you for that. It's scary to think about, honestly.
My Pine-Sol like, wipes aren't that crazy.
Right. So Tarasha's been wiping everything she touches with like Pine-Sol wipes.
Like when I go to check my mail, I go downstairs to touch the doorknob with a wipe with Pine-Sol on it.
That's what I would do. Definitely. And for like latex gloves, like, okay, everyone's going crazy about latex gloves, but you have to remember, you can't go in the store, touch the cart, then touch an object, and then put it in the cart, and then go touch another object, because now you just cross the family.
Right, they're right? Spreading.
So you're honestly better off, like, yes, wear your mask, but like, if you're going grocery shopping, you're honestly better off, like, either just wearing one glove on one hand or not wearing gloves.
Wow.
Only because sanitizer, because as soon as you touch one thing, technically you need to take off your glove and put on something else.
Right. So when you say the one glove thing, so you would keep the gloved hand, your quote unquote sanitary hand.
Yes.
And touch things with the ungloved hand.
Mm-hmm. So like if you're a person who like has the list on their phone, right? Like I'm always on my phone right here. So I have the glove hand on my phone to make sure like that's staying sanitary, and I'm using like my ungloved hand to touch other products, because as soon as I touch one thing, and if I have a glove on, there's a point of me having that glove on it.
Good to know. Very, very
so you're
good to know.
Off, like just quickly grocery shopping and then like using hand sanitizer or washing your hands as soon as you get home. Than having a bunch of things on a latex glove that could be
crossed. Right, because it's not just COVID you're picking up. You're picking up any germ that's there.
Right, because you don't know who touched that, all those things before you did. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
People pick things up and put it back down.
That's so true. I didn't even think, and just to bring our point back to the whole Walmart situation, like that totally makes sense now as to why there are so many cases coming out of that one location,
right?
Because everybody's touching everything.
Right, and I get like they're having workers like wear gloves, but like you're touching all the stuff that I just touched to put in my basket that I just put on.
Right.
There. So now not only is the worker getting like cross-contaminating their gloves, now everything that you already just touched and that they just touched, now you touched everything that everybody else touched. That's it.
Right, and they're touching money, and then touching your stuff, and then touching more money, and...
Right, and they're not changing after every time someone goes through
the line.
Wow.
I mean, honestly, do you think it's better for people to try and take advantage as much as they can with, you know, things like Instacart and grocery delivery and Amazon deliveries rather than going out to places?
I think it's kind of a give and take, though, because for me, like... at least I know what I touched and what I did with my groceries.
Right.
Rather than, you know, like, I don't know who that person's been around. So at least you can kind of, like, you know, streamline and moderate that based on, you know, what you're grabbing, if you don't know, like, who this person is shopping for you.
Right.
I definitely think, like, you know, online packages and Amazon and things like that is good. I would definitely just write down the box, so just, like, if you can, or have a garage, or, like, a porch, like, keep the stuff on the porch for a day, just so I can air out.
Yeah. And Trasha, did you have a question?
So I guess, and I think that maybe you've already kind of answered this for me. I feel a little bit better because I honestly feel like very, like I'm over exaggerating how much I should be quarantining myself and how much I should be socially distancing myself. And I feel like that's because I see so many differentiating stories out there and I see so many people that maybe are not taking this as serious as I am. And I'm like, okay, am I overreacting? Like, for example, I've been laid off of work this entire time. And now we're finally gonna be semi going back to work, a modified version of going back to work. And it's mostly working from home, but part of the agreement is that I'm gonna go into my place of work. I'll be the only one there. There won't be anyone else there. And we're gonna take turns cleaning. And, you know, obviously there's plenty of essential workers out there that are going into workplaces every single day, taking precautions, but they're around other people. And yes, some of them, a lot of them are getting sick, but some of them are staying healthy. So for me going into this building completely alone, I'm still kind of like a little, I guess, sketched out by that. And I'm like, am I taking that too far by thinking, okay, if my coworker is in the building yesterday cleaning, and now today I go in the building cleaning, is there still like a way that we can transfer germs to each other? You know what I mean? And I just don't know if I am overthinking this whole thing because I feel like so many people aren't taking it seriously. Am I taking it too seriously?
So I think that's kind of a difficult question only because I feel like we're always going to be at risk, just like you're kind of always at risk for the flu, whether you get the vaccine or not. I definitely think taking precautions like, okay, wear gloves so as soon as you open the door, like anything that can be publicly touched with a handle going in, like, but once you're in, you're in. So I would touch the door with the glove, throw those gloves away, and then kind of, you know, continue. So I feel like if you're kind of going through more procedures of keeping, you know, the space clean, I definitely think that jobs should implement, like, either you're checking your fever and proving to your boss that you don't have one, you know what I mean? That's going to help kind of moderate that, because that seems to be the biggest indicator right now, that and a cough. So I think as long as, I know a lot of people aren't taking it seriously, and that's why it's going to take a long time to kind of go away, unfortunately. So
I guess my follow-up to that is, so basically, again, I feel like, you know, a month ago, this was like kind of high alert. Everybody was really like, you know, scared basically, and was very much on board with like the whole like, okay, we need to take this seriously thing. And I do feel like attention has since kind of dwindled and people are starting to get antsy and anxious and they're just kind of over it. So they're just kind of like hoping and thinking that this is gonna, you know, get better. And I have read things that have said, you know, maybe in the last 3 days that maybe our caseload today is lower than it was yesterday. But of course, I think we know that there can't be exact numbers anyways. But even if we're, you know, 50 less sick today than we were yesterday, that's still hardly a dent. And so I guess, like, is it a fact that this is still as serious as it was a month ago and will continue to be as serious until we have a vaccine? Is that a true statement?
So I think it will continue to be serious, but I don't think we'll need a vaccine to make it less serious, if that makes sense. So I would say that, like, okay, yes, people aren't starting to take it seriously now, and yes, the curve is starting to flatten, but it's gonna go back up because right now people are afraid to even go to the doctor.
Right.
So that's one thing. we don't even know who, you know, some people sit in the house and not wait for the last minute to go because they're like definitely afraid of going. That's why they're trying to kick off all these telemedicine stuff, because like people are just even afraid for like routine, you know, going to the doctor,
right,
or waiting to the last minute. Or the other day at summer way last minute and they had stomach pain, they had to have an emergency appendix. So it's just like crazy stuff going on. Like that, I think it's not gonna completely go away until we get a vaccine, but that's not gonna be until late 2021.
Right.
Obviously we can't like sit in the house until 2021. I mean, we could, but it would probably be a little crazy. So I think what they're kind of trying to, one, they're waiting for the warm weather, because just like before, there's a flu season, this is a strand of a type of a, you know, worse flu. So they're hoping that once the warm weather comes out, that it starts to like die down a little bit. Will the numbers drastically improve anytime soon? In my opinion, are they going to eventually have to like open the world?
Right.
Yes. Do I think it's done up right now? Yes. I think that we should longer personally. Because the numbers can get much lower before we do open up. I think they're kind of jumping the gun a little bit in some areas.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think like, no, we don't need a vaccine for this to completely like go away. But even if we did have a vaccine, we probably don't want, just like a lot of people don't take the
flu shot. Right.
You know? It's not going to completely make it go away, but people will be in for a rude awakening. For those people who are running outside as soon as they open up Massachusetts, when they're in the hospital,
there's people on Facebook like making like bar dates for the minute that the restaurants open back up. Like, no thanks. Like, I'm gonna sit back a little bit and see how you guys do first.
Yeah, I'm hoping that when they do open back up, at least Massachusetts anyway, that they kind of put like restrictions. Like, okay, like you can open up maybe restaurants and like have a certain amount of people in the restaurant, but I don't think they should be opening up bars,
right,
clubs.
Right.
Stadium at any time. At least until like they start opening up primary care. Because then once you go to your primary care, your like doctor can assess you, it will probably give you even with the test.
Right.
But like people are afraid to go on their own. So I feel like within whatever phase one that they decide to do needs to be opening up primary care, so people feel comfortable going to their personal doctor and, you know, checking themselves into the emergency.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, I'll feel better, you know, once the hospital allows visitors again, I'll feel better about things opening up. But until then, if the hospital's not letting people in, nobody should be letting people in.
Right. Exactly.
Lord. But I really think, you know, you're right that it's not the vaccine that's going to make this better. I really feel like, you know, it's a we situation, and, you know, like we as people need to realize, you know, we all have to do our part with keeping good hygiene, which people should have been doing before this, don't get me wrong, but, you know, like consistent hand washing, staying home as much as possible. Like, I know we all get a little stir crazy and have to go, you know, for a drive in the car here and there, but like, going to the stores just when necessary, or, you know, if you're going to pick up dinner, make sure you're truly going to pick up and go, or if you're picking up your breakfast, pick up and go, and, you know, like not hanging out with large groups of people inside your house because the bars are closed. Like, that's still not okay. So I think, you know, social distance, people just really need to fully understand that that's a big part of like mitigating this virus.
Right. And I feel like the biggest thing with social distancing is because we need a little bit more research. So as soon as there's more research, and all the epidemiologists kind of have time to like figure out exactly like what this strand truly means, you know, then they'll be more willing to be like, oh yeah, go get the antibody test, like, you know, lab quotes and things like that will open up and be like more willing. But they just don't want to waste people's time or money on something that's not super, super concrete.
Right. And I think people in the public fail to realize that, number one, the research that has already been done on COVID usually takes years on a normal virus. Right. Like, they are working at an accelerated pace to begin with. And people need to cut these scientists and these doctors slack, right, because you can't expect a vaccine to be created in a week. Never mind these tests that they created very rapidly and improved. Don't get me wrong, there could still be a lot better, but we're way better off than we were at patient zero in the U.S. But yeah, I think, and do you, just so the listeners know, Jazz, like, do you have any suggestions on, like, where they can get accurate numbers, updated information, things like that?
Yeah, so definitely the CDC is always a great place. They usually update first before kind of distributing. I like to use this, well, you can find them on Instagram. It's called Osmosis Med, O-S-M-O-S-I-S Med is their handle, but they also have a website. They have really, like, cool and easy to read graphics and, like, videos. Like, I use, like, their videos to, like, to study in medical school, but they're, like, very, like, simple to, like, understand, and that's why I like them. And they have a whole COVID series going on right now with different videos, so it'll be good for, like, the kids, because it's all cartoon drawings, and they kind of break everything down on, you know, transmission and what this all means and the infection rate, and they continuously have been updating, so that's where I've been getting a lot of my information.
Awesome. Thank you so, so much. Like, I really appreciate you, you know, taking your time out. Like, I know your schedule is, like, crazy. Like, this woman studies, guys, more than anybody I know. Like, if you have her on Snapchat, you know all you'll see is her desk covered in medical papers that wouldn't make sense to the normal person. But Jasmine is so smart and such a genius. And thank you so, so, so much for joining me. And I'm honored. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks, Jazz. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
No problem. Bye.
That was so awesome, guys. Like, I really am so happy we had.
Me too. I definitely feel a little less crazy. I think that she made a lot of our craziness kind of valid, you know, because people might take what we say more seriously from a professional. So there you have it, folks.
Exactly. And, you know, it was nice to learn. Even I learned some new things today. Like, I didn't realize, you know, things can live on surfaces as in depth as she gave us for the amount of time.
Right. No, I definitely learned some things. Absolutely.
I'm so happy. That was an awesome, awesome phone call. I'm so happy she, you know, took some time out. Cause I'm not kidding. When that girl, I say that girl's always studying. She is always studying. Like, I'll text her, what are you doing? Studying, Snapchat, studying. But that's why she has 2 degrees, is on her way to become a doctor.
Absolutely.
Do you have tweets of
the day? I do have a tweet of the day. It's from my girl, Christy. She does not have a blue check, but she's pretty awesome on Twitter. And her tweet says, if you value a weekend at the beach over human lives, you're probably an asshole. That's all.
Hold on, repeat that because your phone
broke up. I'm sorry, guys. I just, you know what, let's shout ourselves out real quick because everyone knows that we're just starting out at this. And a lot of people have, like, microphones and equipment and stuff. And we do this on our cell phones. So I do apologize for my ghetto service sometimes, guys. Thanks for rolling with it. We're working on moving on up the ladder. But to repeat, this is from my girl, Christy. And she says, if you value a weekend at the beach over human lives, you're probably an asshole.
Ooh, poetry snap. Poetry snaps. I like that one. And speaking of Twitter, guys, don't forget, if you have a Twitter, we are now live on the Tweeter. On the Tweeter.
We are on a lot of Twitter.
You can follow KMI. You can follow at KMI Podcast on Twitter. I'm constantly coming at Trump and replying to his tweets and making him look like the dumb imbecile he is on Twitter. So feel free to follow, like, retweet, and ask us any questions you may have. Trasha, what do we have to tell Trump?
Don't drink the Kool-Aid. You're supposed to finish it.
Tainted with... What?
I was waiting for you to finish it.
Okay, one more time. This is funny. One more time. And Raja, what do you
tell the child? Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Because it's tainted with bleach.
We got this.
KMI. Okay.